With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, welcome in. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball. Thanks so much for listening. We will get back to hoops, and I'll talk a little bit about the double transfer conundrum that a lot of these players and coaches are waiting to find out if their players are cleared, especially after the Tez Walker issue. We'll get to that in upcoming episodes. I thought you'd enjoy a continued conversation with Jacob Jaber, who, of course, is the co-founder of Phillips Coffee and now investor and part of the board there. In this episode, we'll get to the fact that they went from a mom and pop to two stores to 80 stores and growing. How do you maintain the same level of quality really hard, right? Because I think that's what happens when you're a coach, you know, is now all of a sudden you go from a lower level to a higher level. You have to hire assistants around. You have to hire people to help you with the program. How do you maintain that same level of personal care when, you know, you're being pulled in 50 different directions? Fascinating, right? Here's the second part of my conversation with Jacob Jaber.
When did the overall expansion come?
Late, like 2013-12 actually is when we started expanding. We had like 10 stores. We had like 10 or 11 stores in 2013. We were opening one here, one there. And then we started opening 5 a year, then 10 a year. Now we have like 80.
What's the feeling like?
So damn fun. Hard and fun. All the things that I wanted at the time, right? Like just hard, challenging, fun. It was kind of like reminding me of a game, right? Like when I was building the kit, it's like, okay, you step out from 30,000 feet, you're watching the map, you're watching the picture you're trying to paint. And if you're so focused on one corner of the canvas, you're going to miss the big picture. But if you're not focused on that one corner of the canvas, it's going to be not good or not great. So I think that's one of the things I understood is this idea of understand the bigger picture that you're trying to paint and know how to drop in different parts of it because you're managing a system. You have hundreds of employees, then you have 1,000 employees. So I think that was very natural for me, and gaming taught me that, not school. And so for me, it was like a game. It was a lot of fun, and I'm very competitive. I'm very ambitious. From basketball to gaming. And I'm a sore sport too. If I lose, I'm going to talk crap and I'm going to say, play again. I'm not going to leave until I win. And I might never win, but I'm not going to leave. That's my, and even today, I have that hunger and that drive. So for me, just the idea of expanding and growth was a great challenge. And then how do you do it with quality made it so much fun.
Okay. So let's dig in there. Okay. It's also a very competitive market, right?
Yep.
Especially compared to when you started, because you have Coffee Bean, Starbucks, Dunkin'. And I know they're not all direct competitors. Pete's. I'm sure there's others that I'm missing, right?
Tons.
But there, everybody has kind of their own thing. And you're also, by the way, in, you know, you started in California, in Northern California, where it's especially competitive. It's not like you're in a small town or in the Midwest where, you know, you kind of got your own thing.
Yep. One of the best food places in America.
No question.
Yeah.
So what in expanding, I think the first thing is you guys had this mom and pop shop sort of feel, furniture from home. literally a family-owned business. When you start expanding to 10 stores, what are the things, like the absolutes, the non-negotiables you have to have in these stores?
Yeah, so it was certainly a lot harder to control quality, right, when we had 10 stores, to your point. And by the way, real quick on competition, it's like some people are motivated by having an enemy and going after the enemy. And that works for a lot of people. But for us, we didn't even think about competition. We were motivated about delighting our customer. And I'm not just saying that. That's not fluff. We really mean it. Like we were just absolutely like motivated by making sure customers had the best experience. And that helped us in a very big way, because instead of putting our energy on others, we put our energy on the most important stakeholder, the customer. So that's that. But honestly, I would drive around like a madman, visiting stores, checking in on employees, seeing if they needed help. And when I went into a store, I didn't walk in with a clipboard and say, you're doing this right, you're doing this wrong, you're doing... I went and I helped them. I developed rapport. I was relatable because I was a barista myself. I got to know them. So on one end, you want to be really tough and have high standards. On the other end, these are people and human beings. So I recognize the importance of knowing their names, building a relationship with them. And we did such a great job at hiring that I didn't need to go in and hammer down. I went in to try to inspire and motivate. And maybe there were some things I had to correct here and there, but you know, you go from making coffee to driving around stores. And that was the thing the business needed at that time. And then once you get to 15, 20 stores, you have to find someone to manage the 10 stores who manage 10 store managers. And then you got to make sure they're good. That's one of the hardest positions, actually, is the store manager is the most important position of each store. They're like the fill of the store. But the district manager who manages 10 stores, that's a very difficult position to find. It's difficult because you need to know how to bounce around in a very good way. You need to know how to spend your time. You need to know how to prioritize. You need to know when to dig in. You need to, you know. So I think you just adapt. You have to adapt. And this is why you got to know the big picture. Because if you don't know the big picture, you can't scale, right? Like, I know that there's no way we could have gotten to 10 or 20 or 30 or 40, 50 stores if I kept making coffee. I can't make coffee at 10 stores at once. So you gotta, and then I just got obsessed with developing the playbook, the system.
Who's the greatest barista ever? Who's the one? And you have to remove yourself and your dad from this.
Yeah, besides us, I will say the greatest. So there's a guy named Greg Matt. Greg Matt was a friend and early customer of my dad. He's an amazing guy, actually. And Greg started helping us out and working with us in the very early days. And I've never come across someone with more passion as much as that. Like he shared his passion with us at the level that we had. And he's so damn good with customers. And he would obsess about quality more than I would. And I was like, that's amazing. So he was great. I mean, he was like us in that sense, where he had an owner's hat on all the time. All the time he had an owner's hat on. So, and Greg is still, you know, connected and great. We're, you know, so that's Greg Matt. I mean, there are so many, though, to be honest. There's a guy named Demetrius Dix, who was a doctor. And while he was going to medical school, he was a barista. This guy was off the charts. And
what store? What store did he work at?
Berry Street. Second store, Berry Street. And oh man, like this guy had a work ethic better than us. This guy had an attitude better than us. He was just amazing. Like just, you know, when you come across someone, it's just positive all the time. Can do attitude, not, oh, you know, never that. Like, yeah, absolutely. You got it. You know, it's like, you know, one of the secrets for the young generation, they don't understand this, is I wish every young person would understand this in life, is do more than you're paid for. Do more than what's expected of you. And good things will happen over time, maybe in that, not in that moment.
That's an unbelievable sentence. Okay.
Yeah.
So now we get to the hard part.
Yep.
Okay. Let's start with COVID. What was COVID like when you're running this expanding business? And by the way, the business is all about the personal touch. Right? Now you can obviously with the app, you could still order, right? But the ability to have personal touch, relationship, sit in a store, like all of these things changed dramatically. And you know, so many retails got crushed. What was COVID like?
You know, the few weeks leading up to the shutdown, on one end, we were like, oh, this shit's going to pass. You know, no one knew, right? There was so much uncertainty and then fear and all that stuff. And they were like, oh, we're probably not going to have to close down. And then the week before the shutdown, things started to get more. And then we were all in the office, in the headquarters, talking about what to do, because the mayor went out and said non-essential businesses need to shut down. Except on one end, we were like in shock. And the first thing that came to my mind is, how do we not die? So 2019, mind you, was an extraordinary year for us. Leading 2020, the early months, extraordinary. Like, we were doing the best of our history. And then all of a sudden, this dark storm comes around and upends the entire business. And 90% of the revenue goes away overnight. I'm thinking about cash in the bank. I'm thinking about people. I'm thinking about culture. I'm thinking about so many things. And one of the things we prioritized immediately was people. So how do we take care of the team and the customers? And mind you, remember, like, at this time, we all didn't know the whole world. Like, we didn't really know what this thing was, what it meant, the severity of it. Like, for us, it was more erring on the side of being conservative, because we did not know the risk, right? Like, let's say this pandemic had a mortality rate of 50%, right? Like, thank God we were conservative, right? So luckily it didn't, and it was way overblown in many ways, but we don't need to get into that.
Nobody knew. Like, I think nobody it's actually
knew. At the time, nobody right. knew. Right. There was uncertainty. What happens when there's uncertainty? And it's health risk, there's fear, right? There, you look back to the 1920s at this, you know, past pandemics, and you just don't know, right? So there was a lot of uncertainty. So we were dealing with uncertainty. So very easily, okay, we can't control this. We can control this. Bam, immediate action on all the things we can control. We had to furlough employees to cut our costs. We had to take care of our employees and make sure that, you know, during the time we're closed, how do we support them with healthcare and payment? I worked with our operations team on how do we reopen as quickly as we can. I want to have as soon as we close the stores for a few weeks, the next day I called up our COO and I was like, we need a plan right away on how do we reopen. And he was like, but we just closed the store. And he agreed with me though. He was fantastic during this time. And we came up with a plan on how do we reopen in a distance, healthy, you know, what they, the 6 foot distance and all that stuff. And we were and then we adapted, and then we reopened the stores and things were better, but we still were significantly impacted. Mind you, a lot of our stores, not a lot of them, but a good amount, were in like these office financial districts where nobody went.
Well,
to the
not, just, not just that, you were in, like, I've been to two of the stores in Chicago, and I can tell you, I traveled. During that time, I traveled some the next year. I remember traveling, and it was before we kind of became friends, but I've told you since, like, Chicago was hit way harder than anybody could realize, right? You're in Chicago, you're in DC, you're in San Francisco. I mean, these are cities that were just devastated,
annihilated
by the shutdown.
Yeah.
And still, you know, I think probably this summer, you'd know more than I. This summer was like the first real, okay, everybody's we're kind of sort of back, but you know, it's changed where people live, right? Not as many people live in the cities. They're like, dude, why do I live in the city? So yeah, it was okay. So, that's an incredible part of the story. The next part of the story is, and this is a little bit 2019, but I think it's something that having spoken to other business owners, I know to be a real thing is, minimum wage has increased, but it's turned to where so many minimum wage workers are really apathetic towards work, right? They, it's just something they do. They don't. And again, I'm speaking in grand terms, maybe not the people you hire, but it's not only hot. Like I have a friend who runs a business, a big restaurant in Oklahoma. And he's like, it's not just hard to find people. It's hard to keep people. We actually give people bonuses for showing up to work. Whereas you're telling me, and I agree with like the idea, do more than you're getting paid for. That's not the mentality of a majority of people who are looking for work. What has that been like? Because it does feel like the workforce has adjusted a great deal.
Yeah. Well, the government, hindsight's always 2020, right? But like the government stimulated the economy in a really big way. They've come up with rules and regulations and I guess on one end, they're trying to do the right thing. Cause again, there was so much uncertainty, but they incentives drive behaviors. And I think the unintended consequence of the stimulus and the regulations, changed the incentive structure so that you actually can still get paid without having to work. And that's bad. and I'm not even speaking from an individual. That's actually not good for people. Now, I want to separate this from people. There are people that had COVID and health issues and all, like, you got to support people on one end.
No, I absolutely. But there is something completely unhealthy to the mentality. Like,
there's people taking advantage. Yeah. Easy to take advantage of the system. Yeah.
Right. Right. And again, this is a lot, I believe. It's a lot like many of the things the government did in terms of COVID. Like they had the best intentions at heart.
100%.
They had the best intentions at heart in terms of, you know, giving people money so that they could just get by when they're not working with everything. Like all of those are good, are well intentioned.
Yep.
But they're whatever your well intentions are, there's a percentage of people that take advantage of it. And maybe not even took advantage of it as much as it changes the mentality. Like this is.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's a real thing. Like I've talked about this with professional athletes before. How do you, and this is kind of a little bit, even your kids, how do you create the hunger and desire to make it when you've made it and your kids, like all you want for your kids is to be in a better school, a better house, a better life than you had. On the other hand, you want them to still have the desire for more.
Yep.
You know, and a passion to make their kids' lives better when they got it pretty good. So, you know, I mean, how many, it's actually the thing I marvel at with Steph Curry, which is like that dude's hungry to be great, even though he grew up, dad was a pro, private schools, counter to so many of us who have, frankly, kind of soft kids. And we have soft kids because their lives are way easier than ours.
I agree with that. There's a great quote, which you've probably heard, other people have probably heard, which is like, hard times create strong people create good times create weak people create hard times.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's exactly what you're saying. I think like you can't, like we need to teach resiliency. You know, we need to embrace hardships because the fact is life is difficult. It's hard. And the goal should not be happiness. The goal should be joy The goal should be community. You'll get happiness as a result of these things. But, you know, Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's partner, has a great saying. If you want to be happy in life, lower your expectations. And on one end, I completely agree with that. Like, lower your expectations on life. Don't expect anything from life. You know, so I like this tension between having high expectations for yourself and your friends and your community and your family, but at the end of the day, have low expectations in terms of what you should expect back from life. And I think that's a good way to live, because then you're not sitting there expecting things from people. It's like, oh, I did this, I expect that. That's not a healthy way to, that's not the right mindset. The right mindset is to be grateful. It's to try to have a positive attitude, to do the right thing, you know, when no one's watching, is very important. Treat people with kindness, no matter where they come or how they look, like just, yeah, treat people well. That's like very important to us. But, I think it's just very interesting how COVID has upended many dimensions of life and culture, or maybe it's actually revealed things in some ways. So I'm not so sure, but what I will say is that, incentives matter. We were very fortunate because our team members were absolutely amazing. And supported us as much as possible through the process. It was hard for them. It was hard for us, but you know, we worked through it together. So we were lucky in that respect, but resiliency.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
It's like, you don't want people to be bullied and humiliated. On the other hand, you do want them to be pushed. And sometimes I was seeing less, short of bullying, short of humiliating, what motivates people, right? Yeah. Can you only motivate through positive affirmation? Somewhat, that helps. But sometimes, sometimes being picked last in the playground or, not getting a participation trophy, sometimes that's a real thing that motivates you.
Yeah. How do you deal with that with kids? So if you see a young one who didn't win,
I'm not great at it because I'm more old school.
Yeah.
So I run a basketball program, and yeah, what I try and do is my whole idea is to teach the why. And how I teach basketball, it's the why, not the what. And how I teach how we should feel about things, it's the why, not the what. And what I mean by that is like, hey, why do we win or why do we lose? Right. And if it's we just didn't make shots. Generally, that's not the case. But if it is, it's like, okay, well, why didn't we make shots? Did we not take good shots? Have we not been working enough? Are the guys that are taking the shots not the right guys because they haven't worked hard enough? You shouldn't feel bad if you miss shots when you haven't been practicing. You just can't, because you're asking something of your body, which is nearly impossible. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter we've ever seen. He doesn't even make half his shots.
Yeah.
So, but if you're allowed to be upset, if, you practice these shots, you usually make these shots and you just they're in and out. You're just unlucky. I try and teach the why. Why do we win? Why do we lose? What can we take from this experience? What we got to do to get better? Who we got to be? Yeah. What it looks like? And try and do a long game. And I can do that because I'm not running a program for money. It's a money loser for me because of the time spent. And I can do it because, you know, I've tried to surround myself with kids and parents who are my kind of people.
Yeah.
But it's not easy. But I think it's, to me, in sports, it's teaching the why. It's harder,
my dad,
I think,
would always tell me, like, at a young age, he said, I want to show you the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah. I don't want to lie to you. And he said, wherever you go, build the church. But know that there's good, bad, and ugly. Be exposed to all of it at a young age, because this is real life. And there's always going to be good, bad, and ugly. But again, build the church wherever you go.
I love that. What does he think of the company?
I mean, he's very proud of what we built. And he has maybe 1,000 customers' phone numbers. They text him, they talk to him, they love him. Because my dad just made friends with everybody. If you walked into the store and he saw you sitting there on your laptop, and he saw someone sit next to you with their laptop, he walk up to you and say, why are you guys sitting like a plant? You're sitting 3 feet away from each other. You haven't even introduced yourself. What is this? Hi, what's your name? He'd introduce people, he'd connect people. You know, that's just kind of... just kind of his thing. He loves people. And he's loved by the employees. He's loved by customers, and he's very proud of what we built. And it's very important for him to make sure we keep going in the right way. We don't forget where we came from.
What's the ceiling for the company?
Well, I think it's just about, I like this idea of like getting better and getting bigger. It's good to keep getting better. And sometimes to get better, just don't do stupid stuff. There's another great quote by Charlie Munger. I'm a fan of this guy. Anyways, he says, avoiding stupidity is more important than seeking brilliance. So he had this great story where he was in wartime. His job was, they didn't have the technology back then. His job was to monitor the skies because there was all the pilots and planes flying around and weather could kill them. So his job was to make sure the pilots who were flying did not die. So he was unsure how to approach the job. But what he decided to do is he took a blank piece of paper and he wrote down all the ways on how he can kill the pilots in the air. So he literally wrote down 10 ways or whatever it was. Here's all the ways I can kill the pilots. And he said, the only thing I did was avoid those things. And it worked. So just avoid being stupid is actually brilliant.
What about for you? What's the dream? You're 50. What does it look like?
Honestly, like a healthy family that's thriving and happy and having a good community around me. I'm not running the day-to-day anymore. I'm still on the board, chairman, founder, and all that, but we have a good team in place managing the day-to-day, but making sure Phil's reaches its fullest potential. I'm doing a lot of like investing and building. So I love small businesses, and there's a lot of small businesses out there. You know, it's like there's that Italian deli that's been around for 20 years, there's two or three shops and they're always packed. They have fans, not customers. And it's like, man, there should be so many more of these wonderful Italian deli shops. How can you go in and help these founders grow? Kind of like what we did with Phil. So I love this idea of getting to know the best small businesses out there, food, beverage, retail, brick and mortar, and just trying to figure out how to help them grow. And that can come in a variety of ways, but that's what I've been doing. I've been developing great relationships with great founders. Some of them have all these different situations. Sometimes they want to retire. Sometimes they need help. Sometimes, you know, and the funny thing is, like, I grew up in Silicon Valley, right? And everybody's in technology and entrepreneurs, and they have huge ambitions and goals. There's a lot of business owners out there that don't want to grow. This is a lifestyle for them. They want to keep doing their craft. And that's cool. And that's great. So growth isn't always the best answer. The best answer is to enjoy what you're doing and love what you're doing and be around good people And I think that's, it's as simple as that. Like, honestly, you know what fun it, 50, at 50, it'd be nice to be sitting down at a nice dinner with a glass of wine with family. That's it. That's like, those are the best moments, right? So how do you have more good moments and less bad moments? You have more good moments by having good energy, and you reduce the bad moments by staying away from bad energy. So just more good energy, less bad energy. If I like someone, they have good energy, I spend more time. If I don't like it, I avoid. So avoid the stupid stuff and try to just focus on the good stuff, but keep your expectations tempered, because you know, it's like when there's a vacation coming up in a month, everyone's looking forward to it and is excited. It's like, it's okay to not have something to look forward to. Be okay with that. And I think that's when you have more joy in your life.
Awesome. Hey, man, you've been incredibly generous with your time. It's a remarkable story.
You too. This has been fun. When are we going to play ball?
Whenever. Whenever. We'll play basketball. We can play pickleball.
Oh, no, basketball. I want to play basketball with you.
All right. We're going to play basketball. I'm going to set it. I'll text you. I'll set it up.
Text me one day. Okay. I would love that.
Okay. I've gotten back to where I'm playing a couple times a week. I want to see this kind of awkward, awkward.
No, but, I'm a little bit better now. I'm a little bit more.
But I want to. But it's effective. It doesn't matter as long as it goes in.
Yeah, right? Exactly. As long as it goes
Nobody cares as long as it goes in. And then the big thing is, as adults, we don't get hurt.
Yeah. Right?
We don't get hurt and have a cup of coffee afterwards.
That sounds amazing.
Jacob, thanks so much, man.
Of course.
All right. Jacob was awesome with his time. I learned so much. And of course, it makes you want to go get a cup of coffee when you're just thinking about it, especially with his love and passion for what he did. Plus, love the idea of his dad knowing everyone's name, everyone's story, and telling them to not sit at the same table with somebody else with a laptop and instead introduce themselves. And just, yeah, successful people are successful for a reason. Winners win, as coaches like to say. Thanks so much for listening. A reminder, the Doug Gottlieb Show is daily, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific. You can listen on the iHeartRadio app as well. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
If you haven't heard, it's a good idea to fit probiotics into your daily routine. Fortunately, Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls make that so easy. These adorable little pearls couldn't be easier to take, and they support both digestive and vaginal health, all because of the probiotics. There are actually 1 billion active cultures protecting against occasional bloating, constipation, and digestive discomfort, all in one tiny little pearl. To learn more about Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls and how they can fit into your routine, visit naturesway.com.